Blog Talk Radio.
I can't help but when I look at you, nothing but American dream. Oh, 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 oh. It's my dream.
Welcome back to Edward Jones Presents Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. Our very special guest today is Deborah Malone, the internationalist. A little bit about Deborah. She is an acknowledged marketing industry leader, champion for international marketing. And so it is credited as, she's credited as a significant business force for purposeful communication. As the founder of the internationalist, which focuses on the reinvention of marketing by connecting the people and ideas in international marketing through content, insights, thought leadership, community, collaboration, and consulting. She is a global partner with the ANA, the world's largest and one of the world's oldest advertising associations. I happen to know Deborah through Tim Love, a mutual colleague of ours. And Deborah, it is great to have you on Success Made to Last today. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Rick. Thank you.
You bet. I think you, Deborah, have a particular voice and a purpose that is incredibly important, especially for today, March 2020, as this world is changing. I'd love for you to start today by telling us briefly about the state of marketing today and what exactly is so different.
Well, what's different is quite extraordinary. But before we go into today's really unique situation, let me just try to lay it out a little broadly. I would simply say that today's marketers face a truly long list of critical priorities that span a really wide array of significant issues and disciplines. Their concerns range from generating greater consumer trust while providing a quality brand experience to now in our digital age to juggling personalization and privacy, or maybe we should better say relevance and intrusion, which might be words that more accurately portray it. They're worried about finding new ways to work with ad agencies, how to develop strategies that offset consumer skepticism and mistrust, and how to better understand evolving values. Values is a pretty important word today as well, particularly among younger generations. Values are probably becoming the most important driver of brand choice now. And I think that what we'll find is increasingly consumers will choose brands that align with their values and avoid those do not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to answer your question in a short sentence, we're certainly in the midst of a complex, evolving marketing industry. And I do believe that marketers' perspectives matters. Marketing may reflect contemporary culture, but I think it can also shape it, particularly now. And in the midst of this corona crisis, I think the ability to inspire people to be their best is particularly valuable in difficult times. And no one does this better than marketers.
It's very true. Is what you and I learned when we started in marketing called the brand promise? Mm-hmm. Is the brand promise still relevant today?
I think the brand promise is relevant, but I think that it might be a different P word at this point, in that I think that purpose, even though it's a word, you know, I get nervous about very simple words because they can be imbued with so many things. But there's no question that purpose matters today. And I think it might best be a shorthand for a brand or company's truth in many ways. And it means that certainly a company not only has to have its promise, its brand promise, but it has to live up to that in every choice that it makes. And that is a tremendous difference now, and a welcome and positive difference, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Has the coronavirus changed the truth?
Oh, gosh, that's a philosophical question. Can it change the truth? I think that one of the things that we're seeing about truth is that, unfortunately, there are many views of truth and many perspectives of it. What I would hope, and some of the conversations I've had with people around the world are certainly showing this, the best way forward is for everyone around the world to be unified in fighting one common thing as opposed to worrying about differences among each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very good point. You started something 8 years ago, which is more relevant today than ever, called Marketing Makes a World of Difference. And I know that there's a double entendre in there, but from your perspective as the author of that concept, what does that mean to our listening audience today? And I would say in particular to the chief marketing officers that listen to this show.
Good question. And I just love the fact that you picked up on the double entendre. It's funny, 8 years ago, I thought that was so clever. And now with so much use, I've forgotten it a bit. And it's nice to get a smile out of that. Well, I'll give you a little history. And I think marketers are storytellers. So I'll also tell you a particular story about it. But just to very specifically answer the question, yes, about 8 years ago, we noticed a shift in the winners of our award case studies. And we noticed that those cases that indeed made a world of difference, whether it was helping the poor, saving lives, fighting disease, contributing to a healthy planet, it was these case studies, these marketing case studies, that were consistently among the Grand Prix winners. So, you know, what did making a world of difference mean? I think we were finding then that an activist social media world had been a force in dramatically shifting the rules of doing good business. And it was the assumption of responsibility and the adoption of greater transparency that had become more critical to how any brand or business played its proper role in society. So essentially, when marketing makes a world of difference is done right, not only does doing good occur, but business growth can often result. And I mentioned the story, and I think that this in many ways, this example from Peru 8 years ago that was really the catalyst for this initiative really helped me recognize the genius of marketing, largely because it highlighted the ingenuity that really touched people's lives. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. It's a little bit of an obscure marketing case study. But in Peru, there's something called the University of Engineering and Technology, or UTEC. And they designed a billboard that created clean drinking water from atmospheric humidity. The idea came about because UTEC, this university, was facing a decline in enrollment. And to inspire young people to pursue careers in engineering, the university believed any advertising should show how technology could be used to solve local problems. So it turned out that Lima is one of the driest places on Earth. It apparently gets less than an inch of rainfall a year, and nearly a million people have no access to clean water for drinking or for bathing. Yet, Lima, the bright spot, is that Lima's Pacific Coast location provides 90% humidity for a portion of the year. So UTEC, this little university, and their ad agency created this world's first billboard to provide drinking water literally out of thin air to improve the lives of hundreds of families in this arid region of Peru. And I think that was so touching as such a small example, but one that showed how advertising can not only inspire students to aspire to doing their best, but actually contributed to doing good for a community in an amazing way. And if we segue to these times, I certainly think that marketing is critical to not only showcasing brand purpose, as we talked about before, but also telling a meaningful brand stories. And marketers now have a responsibility to be the voice of the customer. And customers do want to know what the brand is going to do to improve the world today. And I actually think in these times that elevating the human experience may be the most important job any marketer can do.
Mm. Do you believe that beyond the millennials driving this, what does your brand stand for, is that going to carry over to Generation Z?
Oh, I think even more so. I think even more so. The data already on these young people who are now leaving school and entering the workforce, I think they are, if you, you know, excuse the, you know, expression, they're like millennials on steroids. It really does matter to them tremendously. And they are aligning their choices around brands that satisfy their values, but even more so, you know, they look to work for companies that align with their values. I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about why companies should be working with you, the internationalist, because of your extensive career in marketing and how you evolve with the trends. And your new podcast is, not surprisingly, mm-hmm. called Trendsetters. What do you want to accomplish with this fantastic new podcast called Trendsetters?
Oh, that's a lovely question. And I should actually let you know that the concept of Trendsetters is not new, in that I've written a weekly e-newsletter for the internationalist for over a decade called Trendsetters, and it spotlights a person and an idea in international marketing. And we have literally hundreds of profiles of extraordinary individuals and their groundbreaking work on our website. However, to your point, what we've learned is that there is a tremendous interest in hearing the voices of these marketers directly, and particularly now. And I think one of the things that I've certainly realized personally in all of my travels around the world is that a good marketing idea can literally come from anyone, anywhere in the world. And I realize there's been an increasing focus on CMOs of late, or perhaps how CMO titles are changing, or how the tenure of CMOs is measured in months rather than years. But we've also discovered just a wide range of marketing leaders with varying specializations who are the backbone of our industry. And these people are at the forefront of redefining it. I mean, whether their titles are VP marketing, brand manager, digital director, you name it, marketing media specialist, head of marketing innovation, many of them are shaping industry thinking now. They're evolving standards, and they're essentially, you know, reinventing marketing as we know it. And Trendsetters is an acknowledgement of these individuals and how they keep innovating and motivating all of us. I've always believed marketers to be among the most inspirational people within organizations, and I hope that Trendsetters will show just that, that they truly are.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, Deborah is the person who created Ad Age, which when I was
Ad Age International. Ad Age came about in 1929. I'm not that old. Ad Age International. Yes.
The fact that you were a part of that was the singular piece that held our company together with a $3 billion division of Bongrand in Paris, France, along with American division. We read that almost as a unifying document that acknowledged all these trends that were going on. So when you look at Ad Age International and then you look at the 2020 version with Trendsetters, what do those two things have in common?
I think, you know, not to be overly simple about this, but it's people and ideas that absolutely make the world go round. I think that people in international marketing in particular are extraordinary individuals to be able to understand and look at, you know, the so many different markets. And an idea has to not only work across borders, but I also think that an idea is what fuels us forward, but it needs a champion, and you can't have one without the other. You can have a great idea, but without a caring champion to push it through internally and externally, it's not going to work. And even if you have a charismatic individual, they're not worth anything if their ideas aren't of value. So you need both. And I think that's the similarity between both of them.
Yeah, that's what we think also. And Deborah, we were reading a couple of days ago about what makes a successful podcast, and here we are approaching our 3,000th podcast, and we're going, you know, you better be good at your craft, you better practice greatness, and you better be a student, because this is changing really fast. So here's three or four that I want to read to you, and I want to get your reaction on a one-by-one basis. The first thing is your podcast better solve a problem. So what's the problem that Trendsetters solves?
I think it solves helping people find inspiration, other ideas, and giving them the confidence to know that if someone else in an industry can forge ahead with something, you might find a kernel within that can help your own initiatives.
Beautiful. That one goes perfectly with the second one, which was your podcast better provide actionable insight.
Good point. Good point. Now, I mean, the one thing that I will say is that not every lesson or case study can apply to everyone, but I think marketers are able to glean something from it and then apply it to their own situation. There is no one-size-fits-all in this, and that's why it's such an interesting business, because, you know, what works for Coke can't necessarily work for IKEA, but the underlying principles might be able to generate a new way of thinking about something.
Exactly. And the last one is, if you're looking inside out and having worked for P&G and PepsiCo and having enjoyed learning what other countries were doing first and foremost, versus everything has to begin and end in Cincinnati, Ohio, or Purchase, New York, which it doesn't. As an internationalist, it sounds like to me implicitly that you're going to be the great deliverer of new ways of doing things from outside the United States, where lots of problems are solved long before they hit the U.S.
No, it's interesting that you say that, and I know we talked about purpose. I think that we saw so many more purposeful initiatives occur outside the U.S. Before they came here. And now I realize that there are different challenges to solve. For example, you probably remember Unilever's Lifebuoy. Stamping wash your hands with Lifebuoy on rotis, that flat Indian bread, just to remind people that they could stop diseases, certainly childhood diseases like diarrhea that's easily cured, by washing their hands. And then you jump ahead to Hurricane Katrina, and you can see P&G's Tide offering loads of hope in a disaster situation in the U.S. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that they are necessarily similar. I'm just trying to suggest that the ability to solve a problem that's good for your consumers, helps the world, ultimately does help your brand, and so much can be learned from every country.
I appreciate that. I want to end today's show by doing a little promoting of our own network, Success Made to Last, and kind of whip it into a question. What we care about here is making sure that our listeners are informed, often entertained, but that at the end of a show, they actually know something that will help them live to be a better version of themselves and to practice greatness. On Trendsetters, the podcast, how will you help your listening audience practice greatness when it comes to marketing?
No, that's an amazing question. But I do believe that marketers who get it right, who deeply connect with a company's brand purpose, and who try very hard to connect with the values of their consumers, customers, constituents, stakeholders, I think that what they're doing is they are delivering a form of greatness, because they are inspiring people within the organization and outside the organization to really live up to being their best selves. And you can't do more than that.
That's exactly right. Deborah, it has been an honor to have you on. We'd love to have you back on again. For our listeners today, how do they contact you to find out more about all of your enterprise and your services?
Well, I thank you for that, and it's been a pleasure talking with you. The easiest way is probably simply our website, it's got a little bit of a tricky URL because there's a hyphen in it. So it is www.the-internationalist.com. So that might be a good place to start.
Excellent. Well, thanks again. We appreciate you being on. You are so insightful, and we look forward to hearing the Trendsetter podcast and continuing to learn from your informative enterprise. Thanks again for being on. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You bet. That was Deborah Malone, The Internationalist. You can go to the-internationalist.com to find out more information today about all of the services offered by her great company. And we did not mention that she is the author of The Reinvention of Marketing, with a chapter collaboration from some of the world's top marketers and internationalists. And there's also a volume 2 that features a new roster of marketing leaders that debuts later this year. We appreciate Deborah being on this show, and, you know, as a part of our Success Made to Last team, we wish and we hope that with every show that we produce here, that it ends up helping you live the best version of you. Until next time, have a great week.